Let's pray. Loving God, open our hearts, open our minds. Help us to hear what you have to teach us. Guide us, mentor us, deepen us, expand us, enliven us. Fill us with joy and wonder and curiosity. Give us the gospel good news and nothing less. Sometimes it feels like it's the end of the world. It certainly did for an early church community in a city called Thessalonica, a city on the Aegean Sea, some 500 kilometers north of Athens, Greece. There was an early church evangelist named Paul who wrote some letters to the Thessalonians, and we have two of those reflected in our New Testament, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. The first letter, which we study today, may very well be the oldest writing in the New Testament, written some, 20 years or so after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a belief in the early church that the life, death, and resurrection, the first coming of Jesus, had ushered in the eschaton, the end of the world, and that we were living in an in-between period waiting for the second coming of Christ. So when Christ returned, that there would be a final consummation of the universe and everything, all of creation, would end. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians is permeated by this belief, which scholars often refer to as imminent eschatology, that the end was imminent, that the end was near. Now, you can imagine that if you thought the world was ending tomorrow, that would cause you to experience the world and to live life very differently than if you thought that the world was going to continue on for a very long time. And if you believe that the world was going to end tomorrow, then that would cause you, perhaps, to have many, many questions raised about yourself, about your life, about your family, about your country. So you'd wonder, should I worry? Should I celebrate? Should I marry? Should I clean the house? What should I do? The end of the world raises many questions, and it certainly did for the early church in Thessalonica. And one of the burning questions that the Thessalonian church had was, what was going to happen to those faithful followers of Jesus who died in between the first and second coming of Jesus? It had been 20 years now, and some of the church members' loved ones had died. And so they wondered, would they be okay? Would they be raised from the dead? Would they join Jesus in heaven? It was a burning question. And so Paul, knowing this, he puts pen to paper and he writes to the Thessalonians to answer some of their questions. And so he writes to them and says, do not be uninformed. And don't be hopeless, for when Jesus returns, you will join those who have already died in the sky, and that you will be with the Lord together. There's reason to hope in Christ, Paul says. But then he takes them from this 1,000-mile heavenly place. He brings them back down to earth, and he says, look, however much time you have left, I want you to live your lives sharing the words of encouragement, the hope that you have in Christ. Encourage one another with those words. It's an interesting passage, historically, theologically, but in my experience, it is seldom a Sunday morning favorite, right? All this talk of the eschaton and the end of the world, it can be gloomy and bring up feelings of anxiety. It can also be easily dismissed, right? Because, it's been 2,000 years. The world hasn't ended. Jesus hasn't come back, the eschaton doesn't seem to have been realized, and the final consummation certainly hasn't. So it's easy to dismiss it, right? I get it. I understand that. I feel some distance, too, from this passage, certainly in time and geography, but also in theology and experience of the world. But having said that, I don't want to dismiss it. I think there are things in this passage that are very relevant for even us in the 21st century, and that it has some very important lessons to teach us. So I want to share a few this morning that you might pray about and reflect on this week. So first, a lesson this passage has to teach us is that imminent eschatology isn't just an ancient misguided belief that we can easily dismiss. But imminent eschatology, the belief that the end of the world is here, it's relevant, it's real, it's here, and it's now, and it is very much a part of how we human beings experience the world every day. As evidence of that, I refer to a recent statement made by Pat Robertson, you know, the leader of the 700 Club, as early as October 20th of this year. He predicted that Donald Trump would be reelected president, that there would be chaos, and that after 5 years, an asteroid would slam into the world and destroy it. The eschaton is here. Of course, this is not new for Robertson. Since at least 1976, he's been making similar predictions about the end of the world, which means that Robertson joins a long and wide tradition in the church of those who live through the lens of imminent eschatology, who live as if the world is ending. Okay, you might say, but Pat Robertson is just a fringe kook who can be as easily dismissed as the Thessalonians 2,000 years ago. But here's the thing. People who live with the lens of imminent eschatology, they're not fringe kooks. They're your friends. They're your family members. They're your neighbors. They live near. They live in your house, perhaps. And maybe even they are you. Let's be honest. Have there been times in 2020 when you felt that the world was ending? As you looked at pandemic reports, saw the stock market indices fluctuating, heard about murder hornets and the wildfires out west, as you sat through election night and election week and waded through all that, were there times that you joined Paul and the Thessalonians and Pat Robertson and even Chicken Little with the belief that the sky was falling? Imminent eschatology is not only then and there, but here and now. It is a lens through which we experience the world. And because of that, that means that when we read 1 Thessalonians, we're also learning about ourselves. The second lesson from our passage this morning is that the end of the world raises many questions, but an umbrella answer to the questions it raises can be summarized by Paul with the hope in Christ. Is the world going to end, we wonder? And Paul says, it's going to be okay. Hope in Christ. Yeah, but what about my friends and family members? Are they going to be okay? I've got my suspicions, Paul says. But hope in Christ. But what about me? What about my hopes and dreams? What about my future? What about my country? What about me? Am I going to be okay? To which Paul says, with a kiss on the forehead and a hug around us. Paul says, it's okay. Hope in Christ. Powerful words. But Paul doesn't leave us there. For after teaching us about the realness of imminent eschatology, after teaching us about hope in Christ, he then calls us to be those, having been encouraged by the hope, to be those who go and encourage others. And so, when we see those around us who are worried, who are despairing, who are fearful, maybe we don't always go and share our hope. We don't want to cross boundaries. We don't want to impose our faith and our beliefs on others. But maybe that's what people need sometimes. And so I think the lesson here is that when we see those around us shouting that the sky is falling for us, not to wait, not to wonder, not to be ashamed, but to be those who have the courage, having been encouraged, to be those and encourage one another with the hope we have in Jesus Christ. I don't want to race on this morning and just move into the closing hymn and the announcements and all of that. This is too important. This has been too hard of a year, and the gospel is too relevant for us today. So I want to end with just a moment for us to sit quietly, to listen for another couple of minutes. Just get comfortable. I invite you to do that, to drop down with what's in your hands. Maybe turn your screen away and just listen if you want. And just to take some time to think about yourself, how you're feeling, and about your neighbors too. As I guide us through these questions, how are you doing? Are you optimistic? Are you feeling good? Or are you feeling like it's the end of the world? However you are feeling, have you heard this morning, I mean really heard, Paul's words? Heard the gospel good news that there is reason to hope in Christ? And having heard that, can that find tilled soil, soft soil, to be planted within your head and within your heart? As you think about how you're feeling, I invite you to let your thoughts turn to your friends, your family, your neighbors, your fellow citizens in this country. And to wonder, how are they doing? How are the people around you doing? Are they optimistic? Or are they living with imminent eschatology, seeing the world through that lens? Is there fear? Is there anxiety? Is there despair? Who do you know that could use some encouragement? Is there anyone you know that could use a text, a handwritten letter, a connecting walk? Could anyone you know benefit from the gospel reminder that there's good reason, great reason, to be filled with the hope of Jesus Christ? For you, for those around you, sometimes it feels like the end of the world. Maybe you need to be encouraged with the hope of Christ today. And maybe there's someone that you know who could use those words of encouragement too. May it be so with the hope of Christ and for the life of us all. Amen.